We're reading together from the book of James, the fifth chapter of the book of James, and the 13th verse. The fifth chapter of the book of James and the 13th verse. Let us hear God's word tonight. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. It rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again. And the heaven gave rain and the earth brought forth her fruit. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth a sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. Amen. And we know that God will bless to us the reading of his inspired, infallible, and inerrant word. I want to draw your attention tonight to the subject of prayer. It is fitting that we should look at the subject of prayer in that we are met to pray tonight. And of course, here in this portion of Scripture we've read from tonight, we have, I suggest to you, a perfect picture of real prayer. Because as we read this passage from verse 13, as we have done tonight, we can see how prayer is emphasized. Verse 13, verse 14, verses 15 and 16, 17 and 18. If you check it quickly, you will discover that no less than 7 times prayer is mentioned. 7 in Scripture is the number of perfection. And here we have, therefore, as we have stated already, a perfect picture of prayer and how vital prayer is. And of course, as we read the context of Scripture, we discover how valuable true prayer is. We cannot read, even through this immediate context from which we have read tonight, without being very conscious of these things, that prayer needs to be the primary focus in our lives. You'll notice here, for example, praying for the sick, praying for the suffering, verses 13 to 15, praying for the nation, verses 17 and 18. And the man who's mentioned here is an example of real praying. Elijah, what an example he is to all of us tonight. Well, there are many examples that we could cite and from Scripture that bring to us and underline to us how vital prayer is. But Elijah stands right up there among the chiefest. We are going to consider the latter part of 1 Kings 18. Elijah in prayer. He was a man who saw success at the throne of grace. And may we in 2024 see success at the throne of grace in prayer. And very simply tonight, I want to draw your attention to 3 things. First of all, the power of his praying. This man had power in the place of prayer. And that's what you and I need. It's not about saying prayers. It's not about repeating prayers. It's about doing business with God in the place of prayer. And Elijah did business with God in prayer. Things happened when Elijah prayed. Going back to 1 Kings chapter 17, when the widow's son had died, God answered Elijah's prayers, and the lad was raised to life again. A miracle was wrought as this man prayed. And of course, Elijah, as we've read in the context here, he was a man of like passion, such as we are. He failed, as we all do. He fainted, as we do so often. He faltered and fell, as we are prone to do so too. But yet, he was a man of prayer. And we see the power of his praying in that for 3.5 years, there was no rain in the land. There was this awful drought in the land as a result of this man's prayer. Judgment came upon the land of Israel when Elijah prayed. 1 Kings 17 will reveal that to us. In verse 16 we read, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous
man. And that's the type of praying that Elijah engaged in. Praying that is powerful, that moves the hand of the one who moves the world. And that's the type of praying we need in our churches today. That's the type of praying you need here in Tabor. That's the type of praying we need amongst all true believers across this land today, in the days to come. The Puritan Robert Law said this, and I quote, prayer is not getting man's will done in heaven, it is getting God's will done there. Let me repeat that. Prayer is not getting man's will done in heaven, it is getting God's will done in earth. And that's how we need to pray. You think of Moses, how he prayed. His hands were heavy. And yet, there was Aaron on the one side and Hur on the other side, and they held up his hands. Of course, the posture there is the posture of prevailing prayer, Exodus chapter 17. And Moses prevailed in prayer. When he prevailed in prayer, Joshua, fighting the battle in the valley, won the victory. And as we prevail in prayer, the victory of the ours. And only when we prevail in prayer. May God bring us to that point tonight. The power of his prayer. This man prayed in his prayer. Wasn't your words. It was effectual prayer. It was powerful prayer. I want you to notice, secondly, not only the power of his praying, but the persistency of his praying. The Bible tells us here, if you look at it, it says he prayed again. Verse 18, he prayed again. You see, he not only prayed in the case of the widow's son, verse 10, 17. He not only prayed in 1 Kings 18, And the prophets of Baal were put to flight, and God answered by fire from heaven. He not only prayed, the heavens were sealed. There was no rain. But the Bible says he prayed again. And if you look there at that context in 1 Kings 18, you will see it in the final verses of that chapter. 1 Kings 18 and verse 44. If you turn to it for a moment tonight, what a word it is. The power of God demonstrated and displayed in the most marvelous manner. And here, Elijah's in prayer. You can see him there. He's up at the top of Carmel, verse 42 of 1 Kings 18. He cast himself down in the earth in total concentration before God, placed between his knees. He said to his servants, verse 43, go up now, look toward the sea. He went up and looked and said, there is nothing. He said again, go again 7 times. And it came to pass at the 7th time, verse 44, that he said, behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand. Here's a man who all that time when the servant went back and forward, doesn't tell us the distance, but it was a considerable distance, and it took a considerable time for the servant to go back and forward 7 times as Elijah had told him to do. But all of that time, Elijah continued in prayer. He concentrated in prayer. He persisted in prayer. He held on to God in prayer. And there was the cloud the size of the man's hand. At the end of that period. And you know, too often we fail to get what God promises because we stop praying. We give up. We cease to pray. And many people who used to come to the prayer meetings have ceased to come over the years. It's happened. And sadly it is happening. And people have stopped praying. People have given up. I'm talking about God's people now in relation to prayer. When you're here tonight, and the indication is the very fact you're here tonight, and others who would be here if they possibly could, that they haven't given up praying, that they're still praying. They're still holding on to God. Of course, we're not heard for our much speaking. The Bible tells us that, the Lord tells us that in Matthew 6. But there's a difference between vain repetitions and the use of mere words than true persistence, true believing persistence in prayer. Our Lord prayed 3 times in the garden. The Bible tells us there in Matthew 26, he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed. And he continued. He sweat, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. He had that spirit of persistence in prayer, not my will, but thine be done. All 3 times he prayed that the thorn in the flesh would be taken from him. Of course, the Lord did not choose to take the thorn in the flesh away, but give him grace that was sufficient to bear it. Thy grace is sufficient for me. But he continued to pray. You read throughout the life of Paul, his epistles, and how he prayed. The prayers of Paul, that's a study in itself. And we commend it to you. And of course, Daniel prayed 3 times a day. Even when he knew the writing was signed, he continued as he had done aforetime. It wasn't something he just commenced doing then. He'd already been doing it. It was already his habit to meet with God and pray. May it be our habit too. Spirit of importunity. Look at Luke chapter 11. the 11th chapter of Luke for a moment, and the verse 8. Luke chapter 11, and the verse 8. And of course, the context here is of the one coming and knocking up his friend at midnight. Get me 3 loaves. You can picture someone coming to your house at midnight, knocking you up. You're really tucked into bed. And of course, he says, trouble me not. The door is now shut. My children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. Verse 7 says, I say unto you, verse 8, though he will not rise and give him because he's his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And then he goes on in verse 9 and says, ask and it shall be given, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. And you see the build up here. Ask. The first step, seeking, and that's more intense than knocking. Getting to the crux of the matter. Asking. Seeking. Knocking. That's what God wants us to do. Having that persistence. In prayer. That persistence. The Bible speaks in the book of Isaiah, chapter 62, and verse 6, the 62nd chapter of Isaiah. And what a book Isaiah is, of course, in relation to prayer. We commend that study to you as well in your own time. But in verse 6 of Isaiah, chapter 62, it says, I have set watchmen upon thy walls, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace day and night. Ye that make mention of the Lord, keep not silence. So the Lord says to us tonight, ye that are the Lord's remembrancers, that's the sense of the words, ye that are the Lord's remembrancers, keep not silent. We're not to keep silent in relation to our prayers. Let us not be dumb in the place of prayer. Let us plead with God. Word of God speaks about praying always. Luke chapter 18, verse 1. Man ought always to pray. And that word always is used many times in relation to prayer. Again, we can encourage you to look it up. Various references in relation to prayer where the word always is used. Luke 18, 1 is one, and then again, another. In Ephesians 6, verse 18, it says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Praying always, that spirit of importunity, that spirit of continuance. The Word of God says, Colossians 4, 2, continue in prayer. And again, 1 Thessalonians 5, 17, pray without ceasing. Gone by. And the servant in obedience to the command of his master is going back and forward 7 times. And that I just still pray. In a moment tonight, that's where we need to be, where Elijah was. That's where we need to be. May God bring us to that place tonight. You'll notice not only the power of his praying, but the persistence of his praying, but thirdly and finally tonight, the product of his praying. Verse 18, James 5, we're back in this portion again. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. This man had power to move the hand of God. You think of Jacob. He prevailed in prayer. And until the breaking of the day. Genesis 32. He was never the same again, because from that moment he walked differently. He was a different man. As a prince, now his power with God and with man has prevailed. That's what the scripture tells us. He's a different man. His name was James. He became Israel. A man who had been a twister, supplanter. Now he's a different man. He prevailed. And you know, brothers and sisters, tonight, prayer is the greatest power in this world today. You think of manpower, the power that men think they have in this world today. And God just squeezes his hand. That power is gone in a moment of time. You think of horsepower. I'm old enough to remember horsepower. Remembering the plough pulled by the horses. And me as a lad trying to jump on the back of the horse while it was ploughing, much to the displeasure of my father, being the cheeky wee boy that I was. Nevertheless, I remember horsepower. And of course, you think of mechanical power. And remember, too, the first tractor we had, a grey Ferguson. No doubt you've seen them. I still see them. Still enjoy looking at them. And remembering on the farm there in Fermanagh where we had a wee Ferguson, wee Fergie as we used to call it, and me sitting on the bonnet trying to keep it down when we were lifting the hay. My brother was driving and I was sitting on the bonnet trying to weigh it down from rearing up. Such was the weight of the back of it. That's another story. But mechanical power. And then of course we think of atomic power, and we've heard about that in this world, and we think about those people who just push the button and cause this world to be in the midst of a catastrophe. Atomic power. And of course, spiritual power. It's the greatest power of all, the power of God. And brothers and sisters, that's what we need today in Ulster. And the Bible tells us here that something happened. There was this little cloud. You can imagine. A cloud the size of a man's hand. Now, some people have really big hands. I don't know what size my hand comes in there and in relation to that. But you can imagine looking up and seeing a speck. That's what it would have been. Just like a speck in the clouds. A little spot, if you like. Cloud the size of a man's hand. But you know, the Bible says in verse 45 of 1 Kings 18 that the heaven was black with clouds and wind. There was a great rain. It says there was a sound of abundance and rain. That's what Elijah said. Sound of abundance. Used to say that at the convention many times. Heard some just recently again. Used to be the convention then. Every Easter. There it was, every meeting, the sound of abundance of rain. What a hymn. What a truth, based on Scripture. We look for that day when God will come again. And Elijah, as we've seen, prayed for his nation, and God answered prayer. We need to pray for our nation today. Our nation has gone to pot. It's gone to ruin. See the secularization of our nation. You see the tragedy of our nation today in every sector of society. But you know, I was reading about George Whitefield, and George Whitefield's day was every bit as bad. Every that is bad. The wickedness, the harlotry on the streets, the vileness and depravity of men. God moved. The days of Wickfield and Wesley, God came and made a revival. Our God is still the same today. And we need to pray that God will send the showers of blessing, that there will be a great rain upon our land. The Lord came. There was a sign of the rain, and the showers of rain came. The showers of blessing. You think of great men and women whose prayers produce something. Elijah was one of them. Hannah was another one. She never prayed audibly, but she poured out her heart to God. And the result was, God gave Samuel. Ask of God. That's what it means. Samuel, ask of God. What a mighty impact he made for God in Israel. Think of David, the great prayers of David, the sweet psalmist of Israel. Read through the book of Psalms and read the prayers of David. How he prevailed in prayer. All types of prayers were uttered by David. He prevailed in prayer. Think of those, even since Bible times, the great men and women of prayer. I remember a woman who came on years ago when I was living in North Belfast, and the church there, John Knox, and every Thursday morning we used to have a prayer meeting, 7 o'clock in the morning, ahead of the troubles. I said, Lily, she came every week to the prayer meeting. I could see her walking there. She would never, one day I had virtually force her to get into the car, give her a lift for the snow coming down. There she was. I don't know what the weather was. She was in the family. And she never prayed all of that. But she prayed. She was a woman of prayer. And I had the privilege in my lifetime of knowing men and women of prayer who knew God could pray. I remember a man who came to our house when I was just a little boy. We lived at this time on the Ravenor Road. My father and him were great friends, and they used to pray together. And I was a little boy, and I used to eavesdrop at the door and hear them pray. And I learned as a young boy what it was to hear great men pray. I used to lie in my bed at night and hear my father pray for me, for my brother, and for my other siblings. God would answer his prayer and save us. You see, if three of us and two are still in this scene of time and are not saved, I pray God will yet answer his prayers for them, even tonight. Oh, that God would open the windows of heaven, brother and sister, to showers of the blessing. That God will come to this church, this company here in Dearborn, and visit us. I remember the early days here in the Legion Hall. The prayers that were offered then. No fancy chairs or no proper heating. A super service that sometimes worked and didn't, other times it didn't work. Those people who came and prayed. See what you have today. But it's only the beginning, dear friends. We must keep on praying. And I trust you'll be encouraged through these words and give ourselves to prayer. As the apostles did. All of these people we mentioned tonight, Elijah and many others, they knew how to pray. May we also know how to pray. May God bless his word for hearts. And I sing another hymn just before we
down to prayer. 636. And we'll come on the screen, 636.
Elijah made a sacrifice to offer to Jehovah. And the matter of all Christ,
the sacrifice, was over. Elijah prayed, the fire came down, licked the water on the right, so that anyone believed and found Elijah's God was living. 636. And we'll stand as we sing. Sunday morning and also visiting in the prison on a Thursday generally, one-to-one with prisoners, speaking to prisoners' families, working in Hyde Bank, the Young Offenders Centre among prisoners there, 17 to 21 women prisoners also, women's prisons there. So I work there on Tuesday, so I don't know about the retirement issue, but we're still involved in the work of God and preaching here and there, involved work at our college. Of course, we're now building a new college up there at Tandragee, so pray for that as the tendering takes place just now, and hopefully we'll get to that just after Easter, concluding that, and then the building underway. So pray for our college, pray for Reverend Nelson and college committees of which we're involved as we seek to bring that work forward. Pray for students to come into our college. Last year we had nobody came in for ministry, just one girl to study, and we need young men to study for ministry. I looked at our list just in by their time Reverend Dean retires, which is in June, there will be 11 vacancies. And we need God to come and send us the right man to take over into the future. Else we get older. I retired now a year and a half ago, so others are retiring soon and we need the Lord to send the right man. So do pray for that as well and pray that God will work. We do worship in our Tyndale church when I'm not preaching. I get there sometimes and enjoy the ministry of Reverend Nelson and of course the folk in Tyndale. Great little church, and it's a blessing to our souls as we have fellowship there over the past year and a half. So, and I'm involved with John Knox as well because I'm overseeing it as interim moderator. So, I don't get to Tyndale as you would appreciate all that often, but I love to get there and listen to Reverend Nelson and preach the Word of God. It's been a great blessing to us. But let's seek the Lord in prayer, and as many as possible now taking part, and we trust that the Lord will lead us in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to Thee tonight and thank Thee for these folk who have come and listened to Thy Word tonight. We thank Thee for the place of prayer. And Lord, what we have learned about Elijah tonight, and the many things that we already knew, but Lord, it's good to be reminded of this man of God and how he prayed. And Lord, we pray that Thou wouldst give us that spirit of prayer that prevailed in his heart. And we pray that we might know Thy blessing and Thy power in the place of prayer tonight. We pray for answers even in this place. We pray, O God, that Thou wilt send to this folk that a man sent from God to take up the ministry here. And right from the start, as our brother Johnson has taken over, Lord, we pray that the blessing will flow even in this place. And we pray, our God, as men come and are heard in the pulpit, that Thou will guide the congregation, the members of the church to the man, and give them unity, even over weeks and months ahead. We know it does take a time, and we pray, Lord, that Thou will guide them through that time. And we pray, Father, that the power of God will rest upon this work. And we pray for a mighty increase, even here in Drebore. We thank You for what You've done over years. We rejoice from those small beginnings that Thou hast increased the work, and that Thou hast brought about this building here. And Lord, we thank Thee for those who have ministered here, and we thank Thee for the work that has been done. And we pray that Thou continue to bless, continue to work in the days ahead. We pray, Father, that You remember every aspect of the work, the children's work, among the children of the Sunday school, the children's meeting, the young people, and the open-air ministry, Lord, and the ministry on the Lord's Day. Remember Reverend Johnson as he comes this Lord's Day. Fill him with the Holy Spirit. Pray for give him power in the preaching, even down in Port Lenoan this week. We pray that, Lord, You'll use him there in the ministry to God's people. They'll be encouraged. We thank You the meetings are ready and hearing of the numbers even coming in there. Pray to continue to bless and work and bless him here at the Lord's Day. Give him souls for his hire as he goes in and out among the people. As he books the speakers, as he oversees the session and committee, we pray to guide him and endow him with faithfulness. Keep the people united, Lord. Save us from division. Lord, how good and how blessed it is for brethren to dwell together. Father, we do pray for this. We pray for that in all our churches. We pray to remember every nation. And Lord, fill them with men. Think of the men coming out this year. You'll guide them and they'll have success in their examinations and get through the examination board, I'm sure will, and through the licensing process. And we pray, Lord, that Thou will, by September, have these men available, even to take up charges in churches, as I was. Well, remember, men already out to haven't got a place yet or a license. We pray to guide them, with your will, to call them even to congregations. We pray, Father, that you'll bless our land at this time. Lord, in the midst of wickedness and sin, you'll turn hearts to thee, moving families. Think of those even our own kith and kin, still without Christ. Think of my sister in London, my sister Laura on the Craigie Road, just anyway, a short distance from Mount Marion or a short distance from Markers. Lord, we pray that I'll draw her to Christ. Even Lord, even in summer, we shall hear the gospel and come to Christ before it's too late. Lord, two ladies and three ladies, and yet without Christ, we shall draw them to the Savior before it's too late. Do that in all our families, Lord. We pray for those yet outside before we bring them in. Answer prayer, Lord, tonight. Bless us, O God, we pray. Bless the work in the prison. Help us there, Lord, as we reach out to prisoners. And even this Lord's Day, as we preach to these men, as we go in on Thursday and seek to reach out to them on a one-to-one basis, we pray, Lord, that you'll give us help. Bless the Bibles distributed, the gospel tracts that are given out. We pray that you'll use all these means, that these men, in the midst of their extremity, will turn to Christ. They genuinely see you. Lord, answer prayer. Undertake, Lord, for us. Bless us and lead us in prayer tonight. Remember our college, Lord. Give us the right men and young women, too, to come in to train in our college. And we pray, Lord, that thou wilt fill the gaps, Lord. We look to thee. Answer prayer. Bless our college principal, Reverend Nelson. Give him wisdom, Lord. Our college committees. Remember the building of the new college. Thank you for the financial need that you've met. And we pray to continue to bless as this work goes forward. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's seek the Lord.